Right, if you'll find your place in the book of Matthew chapter 2, the book of Matthew chapter 2, we're focused around here on the Christmas season. And I'm preaching on Sunday mornings right now, just different things, different subjects, different topics, if you will, just different stories, all surrounding the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I do want to reiterate what Brother Gary has said. Do your best to invite somebody to come with you tonight. I've already told Bella that I want her autograph and all of that. She did outstanding, honestly. The whole drama team did outstanding. The choir, the instrumentalist, all of it. The presentation of the gospel last night by Brother Gary, just all of it was uplifting to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I encourage you to be back in the house of God tonight. You know, we talk about putting hooks in the water around here. Different ways to fish for the souls of men. And this is a big one. Can I put it that way? This is a big hook. What I mean by that is this is one of those special times of year that it's a little bit easier to invite somebody to come to something. And they may even shock you. They may come to see a Christmas program. Let me give you something to add to it. Tell them the pastor's not going to be preaching a message. He will be speaking some tonight, but just not preaching a message. So you don't have to put up with him the whole time. They may shock you and come then, you know what I mean? I encourage you to invite somebody to come be with you. And I appreciate those who've been working so hard on this. Brother Gary, thank you for your service in this, leading this program. Angela Davis, those working with her, the drama team, those that are leading in the instrumentalist. I mean, just so many things. I hesitate to start thanking people, but anybody that has anything to do with this, thank you. And you did a great job last night, and I'm trusting it's going to be even better tonight. Ask the Lord to touch it in a great way. Matthew chapter 2, look at verse number 1. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, where is he that is born king of the Jews? We have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. When Herod the king heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, and thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of these shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search diligently for the young child. When ye have found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him also. When they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. When they were coming to the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. When they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. In verse number 1 and verse number 7, there are two words that are used that I want to preach to you on these two words. It's identifying the men that came looking for the Christ child. I preach to you today on wise men. It's kind of a play on words today. Wise men. This will make sense as I get started. At least I hope it does. If it doesn't, then one of us are doing something wrong here, okay? Let's pray together. Father, would you bless this service? Speak to our hearts. Bless the program tonight. Bless the services going on right now. Everybody's standing to preach your word. I pray that you'll touch every one of us, those that are preaching to the children, those to the teenagers, and here as I preach to these dear folks. Would you help me today? I pray and need you in Jesus' name. Amen. Today we come to the story of the visit of the wise men from the east. These men came to Jerusalem looking for the king of the Jews. And when Herod heard this news, he called for the chief priests and scribes and demanded of them where Christ should be born. They told Herod that it was written that Christ would be born in Bethlehem. This was a reference to Micah chapter 5, verse 2. Upon hearing this news of where he would be born, Herod sends these wise men to Bethlehem, telling them to find the Christ child and then tell him so he could also come and worship him. Now we see later in this chapter that Herod did not want to come and worship the Lord, but rather he saw him as a threat to his own personal leadership, and he wanted to find out where he was so he could come and destroy the Christ child. The wise men had a star leading them to the place where the Lord Jesus lay. They came into the house and they saw the child. After their visit with the Lord Jesus, they were warned of God to return to their own country another way and not to return to tell Herod. As I studied this passage, I felt the Holy Spirit of God leading me to these group of men known as what the Bible calls wise men that are mentioned in this text. Now, while these men were called wise men due to them apparently being astrologers and astronomers, I submit to you that these men were truly wise in the way that we use the word today in how they acted. So what I want to do is I want to study these wise men. They were called wise for, can I put it this way, their occupation. But they truly proved to be wise the way that I ought to be wise and you ought to be wise in the things that they did in these 12 verses today. Simple thought today. But yet these are thoughts that can help us. I'm really preaching today on basic Christianity. That these are four things that if you want to be wise, you will do these four things. And if you are truly a wise man or a wise woman, you will be found doing these same four things. By the way, the bed is part of the play. This is not how long I'm planning on preaching today, okay? But just bring me some fried chicken and I'm going to get my afternoon nap in right here, okay? Don't get me started now, all right? What did these wise men do that if you and I are wise, we'll do the same thing? You with me where I'm going with this? If you're not, I'm going to start all over again. Are you with me? I thought I'd get a response out of that. Number one today, wise men, first of all, seek the Lord. We see this in verses 1 and 2. Now, I'm not going to read it again because I've already read it. But when I tell you the verses, you can go back and read it if you want while I explain it. The Word of God tells us that these wise men came from the east. Now, no one knows for sure how long of a distance this is that they traveled. But we know that the journey they took had a purpose to it. They share in verse number 2 how they are seeking the King of the Jews, for they had seen His star in the east. These men knew when they saw this star that it was unusual, and it was pointing them to Christ, the Christ child, the coming Messiah. These wise men were seeking the Lord with all of their heart. Matter of fact, they were willing to leave their country and make a long journey in order to get a glimpse, just a glimpse, of the only begotten Son of God. You know, these wise men had one desire. At this time, they had one desire. You know what it was? They wanted to see the King. They wanted to find the King of the Jews, and they wanted to worship Him. You know, folks, listen to me. We can learn something here. Wise men and women, it's a play on words now. Wise men and women still choose to seek the Lord. They really do. We need to understand something this morning. We are seeking something. Do you understand what I mean by that? We are all seeking something. Some people seek fame. Some people seek fortune, money, status, position. Some seek pleasure, whatever makes me feel good. But wise men seek the Lord. And they make God the goal of their life. Psalm 34:10 says, "The young lions do lack and suffer hunger. But they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing." The Bible says in Psalm 105 verse 4, "Seek the Lord and His strength. Seek His face evermore." The Bible says in Jeremiah 29:13, "And ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all of your heart." 1 Chronicles 16:11, "Seek the Lord and His strength. Seek His face continually." Psalm 63:1, O God, thou art my God, early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee, my flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. Psalm 27:8, when thou set seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. Let me ask you a question. Who are you seeking today? What are you seeking today? If you could have one thing and one thing only, what would it be? What's going through your mind right now? If you could have one thing, what is it? May I say this to you? If it's anything less than God Himself, you're settling for a counterfeit. Did you hear what I just said? See, there are people searching for peace today. There are people searching for happiness and contentment. But they don't understand that if they seek God and seek the Lord, they find all of them things with Him. May I say to you that we should not be seeking for something, we should be seeking for someone, and His name is Jesus Christ. Are you thirsty for Him today? Or can you do without Him? You know, the Lord sent a star to probe the wise men to seek Him. After the wise men met with Herod, the star reappeared and went before them. They didn't ignore this star that the Lord sent to guide them. They followed His star, and it led them right to where He was. We see here that the Lord was tenderly showing them an outward sign to point them to the one that their heart was seeking for. You know, it's important to note how the star's guidance did not contradict what the Word of God said about Christ's birth. It led them to where the Word of God said He would be found. God always leads in accordance to His revealed Word. And when these wise men saw this star, they followed the Lord's leading. You know, I said all that to say this. Wise men seek the Lord. And may I say this to you as well? In the same way, God put stars in place to help people find Jesus Christ. And it's interesting to me that there's no question we can apply this here, just kind of a side note, that just like that star led seeking people to Christ, that's what Christians ought to be doing with the lost and dying world, seeking where they can find peace and find happiness and find tranquility and find hope beyond the grave. Are you spending your life as a Christian seeking God and then pointing others to Jesus Christ? Folks, this is the purpose of our life. God has left us here to seek Him and to take others to Him. The Bible says in Daniel chapter 12, verse 3, and they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. Number one, wise men seek the Lord. Let's be honest. We live in a world where most people are seeking something else. Amen or not this morning? Most men, most women, most children, most teenagers are not seeking Jesus. They're seeking something else. They're seeking somebody else. But we learn that wise men seek the Lord. Number two, wise men worship the Lord. We see this in verse number 2 and also verse 11. We see in verse 2 that the wise men said that they had come in order to find Him and worship Him. Then in verse number 11, we see this is exactly what they did. They found Him and they worshiped Him. They finally came into the house where Christ was. They saw the child and they fell down and worshiped Him. What a beautiful sight this must have been. By the way, it's of importance here to note how the Word of God is clear and plain that these wise men fell down and worshiped the Lord, not Mary. Amen. They didn't fall down and worship His mother. They fell down and worshiped the Christ child. The word worship here, when it says they fell down and worshiped Him, that word worship carries the idea of a dog licking his master's hand. It's a beautiful picture. It means to crouch or to prostrate oneself in adoration. In other words, when they bowed, they were bowing in adoration of Him. They were adoring the Christ child. They were standing in awe of Him, and they recognized this is special. One man put it this way, worship is being caught up in wonder of someone that is beyond our capacity to understand and to grasp, to be taken up with the glory of God. You know, these wise men were truly wise in that they gave their worship and they gave their praise to the right one. You know, in the same way, just like we all seek something, we all worship something too. Now that something could be us. It could be what people are seeking after. Some people seek. By the way, what you seek after is really what you're worshiping. Can I put it that way? If your heart's going after it like that, then you're going to bow down and worship it as well. You show me somebody that the mighty dollar bill, the dollar bill, is what they're seeking for, then their God is money. What you seek, you worship. What they sought, they worshiped. So if you're seeking right, you'll worship right. Amen. And I'm telling you this morning that we see that we worship somebody or something, and the only one worthy of it is the Lord Jesus Christ. He really is. That's the reason that everything we do, the motive, the goal, should be the glory of God. Not our glory, not our entertainment, but the glory and worship and adoration of God. John 4:23 says, "But the hour cometh and now is when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him." Exodus 34:14, "For thou shalt worship no other God. For the Lord, whose name is jealous, is a jealous God." Psalm 29:2, "Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness." Psalm 95:6, "Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker." Revelation 4:10, "The 24 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne and worship him that liveth forever and ever." Matthew 4:10, "Then saith Jesus unto him, Get thee hence, Satan, for it's written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve." A.W. Tozier put it this way, and I quote, "I say that the greatest tragedy in the world today is that God has made man in his image and made him to worship him, made him to play the harp of worship before the face of God day and night, but he has failed God and dropped his harp." That's a powerful statement, friends. Let me ask you a question this morning. Who are you worshiping? Who are you bowing down to? Who are you adoring? By the way, if it's a what instead of a who, you've missed it. Amen. And most people worship a who. Sometimes the who is in the mirror. Sometimes the who is unseen, and he's the archenemy of God. He's Satan. But the only true one who's worthy of our worship was born in Bethlehem many years ago. His name is Jesus. I'm not preaching some great revelation message today. The revelation's already been given many years ago. It's the Bible, friends. I'm just giving you truths from this passage right here that if you want to be wise, seek the Lord. You want to be wise, worship the Lord. Number three, wise men give to the Lord. We see this in verse 11. Now this verse shares with us how these wise men opened their treasures and they presented unto the Lord gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Now the gold was a picture of wealth and power in honor of Christ being king. It was the gift given to kings, gold. The frankincense was given as a picture of worship and praise in honor of Christ's deity, and it recognized priests. Then the myrrh was given in honor of his death, and therefore it recognized him being our Savior who was born to die, because we see that myrrh was used for embalming dead bodies. So they're giving him a king, a king's gift, a priest's gift, and they're recognizing that he was born to die. Now there's no telling how much these gifts cost. But we already know, now get this, let this help you. We already know that they had given themselves to the Lord. Let me tell you why. They made the journey. Amen. We already knew that they had given their time in seeking the Lord because it took time for them to make this journey to find the Christ child. Look here. Because they had already given themselves and given their time to the right person, they had no trouble giving him their treasures. You show me somebody that balks up against all that church asks for is money. And if you've been here long, you know that's a flat lie. Amen. But I'll say this, if you are against, I like this right here. Hey, man, look at that. Look at that. That's right. You're looking up to me today, aren't you, huh? Yes. Don't get me tickled. Amen. You got me off track. Show me somebody. I really like this, Brother Gary. I feel like I'm floating out here for some reason, you know. This is not normally here is what I'm trying to say, folks, okay? Those of y'all who are visiting with us, I know what you're thinking. What in the world? Kind of a pastor does that church have? Hallelujah. Let's get, honey, hey, when they pray, let's get out of here. Come on, you know what I mean? You show me somebody that argues giving, and I show you somebody who's not seeking and worshiping God. Amen. They had no trouble giving their gifts to Jesus because they had already given him their heart. You know, when we truly give ourselves to the Lord, and he's really the goal of our life. Now think with me. Like these wise men, the only thing they knew, the Christ child is born. Let me ask you a question. Would you not want to go see him too? If you heard that Jesus, now it's not going to happen this way, but if you heard that Jesus Christ came back, now, it's not going to happen this way because every eye, listen to me, when he comes back in his revelation, every eye is going to see him. He's going to snatch us out in the rapture. It's not going to happen this way. But if you knew that Jesus Christ was in Knoxville, would you want to go see him? Amen or not? No doubt about it. Hey, if he's in China, I'm on the next flight out, friends. I want to go see him. And if that's my goal, I don't care how much it costs. Amen. I don't care how much it costs. I don't care how much time it takes. He's my goal, and I'll do anything I need to do. I'll give anything I need to give just to be able to see him. Let me tell you why so many people get so upset about giving. Giving, because they've lost sight of who Jesus is. Amen. And I'm telling you, wise men give, get it now, not to the church. They give to the Lord. You see the difference? You don't give to the church. You give to your God because that's one way you worship him. The Bible says in Luke 6:38, give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that you meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. 2 Corinthians 9:6-7. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. He which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man, according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. A cheerful giver. You know what that means? Happy. I'm excited about it. Glory to God, I get to give. Is that how you give to Jesus? Is it? Or is it like, good night? I'm going to do it because I know I'm supposed to, but I'll tell you one thing. God sees the heart, my friends. And I'm telling you that wise men give to the Lord. They give to the Lord. These wise men did, and wise men today, play on the word now, these wise men today, wise women today, do the same. Let me give you a fourth and final thing. Not only do wise men seek the Lord, worship the Lord, give to the Lord. Number four, wise men obey the Lord. We see this in verse 12. I will read this. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. Now, here's the point. We see earlier in this chapter that Herod told the wise men, he said, I want you to go find the baby Christ. When you find him, bring me word back. Tell me where he is, because I want to come worship him. Now, he's lying, okay? Herod was doing this, hoping to destroy the Christ child because he didn't want to give up his own authority. Now, after the wise men found the Lord, they found him. They sought him and they found him. By the way, if you seek him with your heart, he promised you'll find him. Amen, friends. They sought him with all their heart. God gave him a star and said, go this way. Isn't that precious? And when they sought him with all their heart, they found him. And look here, when they found him, they found what their heart was searching for. They bowed in worship of him. And they couldn't help themselves. They just started giving him gifts. Beautiful picture. And after that, God warned them. And God said, don't go back to Herod. Go another way. In other words, even though Herod was a seemingly powerful, very powerful man, the Lord God of heaven told these men, don't obey him, you obey me. Now, folks, listen to me. These wise men had a choice to make. Would they obey Herod or would they obey God? Look, verse 12. Do you see them getting on their knees and praying for guidance on this? It's not there. They didn't have to pray about that decision. Was Herod powerful? Yes. But not as powerful as God. Was Herod an authority? Yes. But not to trump the authority of God. And you know, in the same way, we learn a vital lesson here. We are to obey God over any other person on planet Earth. Now, we also know that if you obey God, you will obey certain people, like children with parents. You understand what I'm saying to you. But the reason children should obey parents is in obedience to God. You understand what I'm saying to you. But if there's ever a Herod that comes out and says, you will do this, and God says, I don't want you to do that, I want you to go there, wise men don't even pray about it. They're going God's way. Now, it's easy to say it, hard to do it when our back is against the wall. We understand that. And I'm not saying that we're heading that way in this country, but it sure looks like it, doesn't it? And all I'm saying to you, I know this, there are children and teenagers and adults today of God's people who are having to make this decision as I speak. Will I go that way, man's way, what they're telling me, or will I do what God tells me to do? God help us to see in this chapter that if we're going to truly be wise men and wise women, our decision's already made. Whatever God tells us to do, our answer should be yes. I don't care what it is. Whatever he tells us to do, yes. By the way, why'd they obey God? Because they were seeking him. And when they were seeking him, they found him and they worshiped him. And they couldn't help themselves. They just wanted to give him things. You know what you do to people you love? You want to give them things. Amen. If you're in a marriage and it's been years since you all have given each other gifts, there's a problem there. There's a problem. Because if you love somebody, you want to be with them. You want to spend time with them. And you want to just give them things, don't you? Yes or no? Sure. I mean, here at Christmas time especially. I mean, it's just like, good night. Listen, I've already given my wife a gift. It's me. No, I'm just kidding with you there. Have y'all knew I was going to say that? Would you raise your hand? You knew I was going to say that? A lot of you know your pastor, don't you? And I'm still thinking. Now, she's watching this live, so because she's at home with a sick baby. It's not me, okay? I am her baby, but, you know, hey. I still think just constantly right now, what can I get my wife? What can I get her? What can I get her? What can I get her? And I keep coming back to the point of, she's got me, I can't do any better than that. No, the point I'm trying to say is this. These wise men had it right. They were seeking God. They wanted to see him. And when they found him, they found everything that they thought they would. To the point that all they could do was fall down and worship him. And they wanted to give him gifts. And folks, what I'm telling you is their decision to obey God was easy. I didn't say it was an easy decision, but it was easy on them to obey God because he was the goal of their life. You understand what I'm saying to you? And because he had his rightful place in their heart, the mighty Herod, his word meant nothing to them when God said, I don't want you to go that way, go that way. Show me somebody, listen now please, I'm about done. Show me somebody who's not obeying God, they're not seeking him. And they're for sure not worshiping him. Show me somebody who's not giving to God. And I show you somebody who's not seeking God. This is a progress. You understand? It starts with your heart's desire. Who are you seeking? Because who you seek is who you worship. And who you worship is who you give to. And who you give to is who you submit to. Do you see the progress? So back it up. If I'm not obeying God, then I'm not giving to God. If I'm not giving to God, there's no way I can be worshiping God. If I'm not worshiping God, there's no way I'm seeking God. So it all starts with this. Who are you seeking? What's your desire? What do you want out of life? I tell you what I want. I want to move up in this world. I want to get that promotion. I want to get a bigger house. I want to get a car. I want to get this. I want this. If it's anything other than I want to know God better. I want to know Jesus more. Because all of those things are counterfeits. All of those things, every good and every perfect gift cometh down from the Father of lights. If it's good and if it's right, it comes from God. So you seek God, and he'll give you what you need. Now, this is a simple thought today, but I ask you a question. According to these four things, seek the Lord with all your heart. Worship the Lord and him only. Give to the Lord. It doesn't matter how much it costs. I mean, listen, friends, gold's always been expensive, okay? These are expensive gifts they're giving him. They didn't mind because they knew who he was. Obeying the Lord, I ask you a question. Would God call you a wise man or a wise woman? I'm not talking about because of what you do. I'm talking about the way you act towards him. Would he say, that's a wise man? He is seeking me. He is worshiping me. He is giving to me, and he is obeying me. Do you not see how this is just basic Christianity? Few, look here please. Very few Christians are doing all four of those things. I would even go as far as to say, in this room, only God knows who's truly wise and who's not. I like it quiet at this time. Because this Christ child that came, he is worthy to be sought with all of our heart. He is worthy to be worshipped. And he's worthy to give to. And whatever he tells us to do, our answer should already be, yes, sir. You understand this thought? You got it? Yes? Amen. Let's determine to be wise in this kind of wisdom. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Father, would you bless today? Help us to be faithful to you, your call upon our lives. And help us in this room, Lord, and even beyond, to be challenged to be wise. Not wise like these men for just what their occupation was, but the truly biblical wisdom that manifests itself in how we live our life. Guide us, I pray, in Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Before I get to the main thought today, that these four thoughts of that are really for Christians, may I say to you that there is no way that you can be a wise man or woman and not be in the family of God. It's impossible. You cannot be a wise man or woman and not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. You cannot be a wise man or woman and reject Jesus Christ as your Savior. It's impossible. There are two types of people listening to me today, two types of people in this auditorium, two types of people on planet Earth, those who know Jesus Christ as their Savior and those who do not. If you do not, you are among friends. I want you to know that. We love you. God loves you. And we who know we're saved, there was a time when we did not. In other words, the decision that we ask that you make here today is a decision that we have made in our own heart and life by trusting Christ as our Savior. Let me ask it this way. Have you know without a doubt? Now, please do not condemn yourself here because I don't know your heart, but God does. Just be honest with the Lord. Have you say, Jody, I know. I don't hope. I don't think. I know I am saved. I am born again. I have trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior. I know that. No question about it. I am going to heaven. I know that. Would you raise your hand in the air with mine? God bless you. You can put your hand down. If you could not raise your hand, thank you for being honest. And I want you to know it all begins with honesty. Now, when I ask you here in just a moment to respond, I want you to know something up front. I'm not going to come to your seat. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to call you out. I'm not going to draw attention to you. I want you to know that we love you, we care about you, and we want you to know that you're going to heaven. If you could not raise your hand saying, I know that, but I want to know that. Say, I don't know it, but I sure do wish I did. I want to. I don't, but I want to. I desire to know that. If that's you, quietly, not going to come to your seat, not going to embarrass you. If that's you, you say, pray for me. I don't know that I'm going to heaven, but I want to know that. I really do. If that's you, would you raise your hand? Put it up, put it right back down. Anybody like that? You say, thank you. You can put your hand right back down. Somebody else, you say, pray for me. I do not know, but I want to. I want to. I want to. If you raise your hand to that, thank you. In just a moment, we're going to have what we call an invitation. It's just like what it sounds like. We are inviting you to come to Jesus. By coming forward, we will put a lady with a lady, a man with a man. They will share with you the gospel and show you how you can know that you're going to heaven. Be the greatest day of your life. So in just a moment, when we extend the invitation, please come. Let us take a Bible, share the gospel with you, and make this the greatest day that you have ever lived. Now, if you are a Christian, how about it? Would God call you wise? Are you seeking Him, truly seeking the Lord with all your heart? If you are, you don't mind to spend some time. You don't mind to do some travel. So I'm speaking in spiritual terms like these wise men. You don't mind to sacrifice yourself to seek Him. If you're seeking him, when you find him, there's no doubt about it, he's going to be everything you thought of and more. And it'll cause you to fall down and worship him. So I ask you, are you worshiping the Lord? Are you giving to him? Or are you doing it grudgingly? Or are you not doing it at all? See, your giving is a picture of your heart. If you seek and worship the Lord, you have no problem giving to him. You also have no problem obeying him. This is it. This is it. So the invitation is twofold. Number one, if you're not saved, come. Let us take a Bible and show you how you can be. If you are saved and you have a desire to be a wise man or wise woman, even if you are, and God's just saying, go on. If God's spoken to you today, I want to encourage you to come. Let's all stand together, please. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Father, would you take these thoughts and use them? Help people to respond. May people be saved, lives be changed. And may the will of God be done in Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Brother Gary's beginning to sing. And if God has spoken to your heart, would you please leave your place and would you come? If you need to be saved, please come, let us take a Bible. If you just want to come and say, God, help me be wise and do these four things, you come. As Brother Gary sings, you come now. Would you please? Come on. Come on now.
All to Jesus I surrender. All to him I freely give. I will ever love and trust him in his presence. All, I surrender all to thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all to Jesus, I surrender. Make me, Savior, wholly thine. Let me feel the Holy Spirit. Truly know that thou art mine. I surrender all. I surrender. Savior, I surrender all.
All right, you can look this direction. This is Foster, and we're thrilled about it. Praise the Lord. Brother Gary had the privilege of leading him to the Lord in his home and taking him through the discipleship program. He has trusted Christ. He's been baptized here. I had the privilege of baptizing him here. He's read the bylaws signed here that he's in agreement with them. We're thrilled about it. Now, tell us where you're from, Foster. He's from Liberia, West Africa, and he wants to become a member of this local church. This thrills my heart, honestly. Isn't that a blessing? He's coming by statement, and I want you to know that he's trusted the Lord. He's been baptized. He's submitting to the bylaws. All of those kind of things. All of this is in order. And we're happy about it. No doubt about it. What's the privilege of the church that we accept him by statement? If you don't mind, Brother Marty, Brother Rim, second. All members, say aye and raise your hand high. Any opposed? Same sign. So carry. It's official. You're here with us. We're thrilled. We're thrilled about it. Amen. Oh, amen. Thank you. That is a blessing. Praise the Lord. That's got to be a blessing to you, Brother Gary. No doubt of it. Absolutely.
When Foster got saved, he said, "You are my spiritual father." He calls me dad. We look alike.
Very good. Still works, friends. Going in the homes and all of this. Look at this. Isn't this great? That's a blessing. Be back tonight, 6:30, for this program. If you do have a visitor's card, please go by the Welcome Center and get your free gift. Thank you for coming today. Brother Tony Estep, if you wouldn't mind to lift your voice, please, sir. Thrilled to have you, brother. God bless you.
Thank you.